And welcome back to Movie Maidens. I'm Margo.
I'm Morgan.
And I'm Dorsa.
Yeah, different order today, guys.
Yeah, just switching things up.
Yeah, gotta keep things different.
I was gonna say keep them on their toes.
I was gonna say keep it fresh.
Oh, I don't know what I was gonna say. I said keep it, and then I lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
It's okay. Anyway, this week, we're gonna talk about female-led films, and Kill Bill is one of them because Morgan, for the first time recently, finished Kill Bill. Dorsa has not seen it.
No,
but you will love it when you see it.
It's a lot of fun,
probably.
There's a guy that flips his beard like it's his hair.
Oh yeah,
and I forgot about that until I rewatched part two with Morgan.
Yeah, he's pretty fun.
Pai Mei.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's maybe go around. What's some of your? Because there's a lot of female-led films. So what would you guys say is like your favorite female protagonist? Maybe. Like in media,
you start.
Well, I don't think that The Bride is one of my favorite of all time female protagonists. But since I was thinking of Kill Bill, and also before Morgan watched it, I was like, "You need to see Kill Bill, man!" Like me suggesting it to you so many times made me realize how much I like Kill Bill. But I don't think that she's one of the best. She's awesome though, but I don't think she's one of my favorites. Is one of my favorites. We recently, like me and Morgan recently also watched Paprika, and the protagonist of that, like both Paprika and I unfortunately actually forget her name, the doctor.
Shiva? Or
Siva or something?
Sheena?
Shiba?
Shiba.
Shiba.
It might be Shiba.
It might be Shiba. She's a really cool female protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of my other favorites? I really like, she's technically not the protagonist of this movie, but I really like Maude and Harold and Maude, like off the top of my head. Mm. She's kind of like a dual protagonist with Harold. What else do I like? I like Tashi Duncan in Challengers, but she's not really a female lead either. I like Emma and Jane Austen's Emma a lot. Mm. I like Jo and Little Women. These are very classic literary ones.
Lizzie in Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah. In Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, I love Laura Palmer as a protagonist. Mm. Maybe more than I love Cooper.
Wow.
Wow. What else?
Guys, I think it might be Chiba.
Chiba. Yeah, Chiba. That sounds right.
Close.
Yeah. Yeah. Off the top of my head, that's all I got right now. But if I can think of more.
I like a motorcycle outside. Sorry.
Yeah. And I just did a capture test about a motorcycle. Wow.
Wow.
It's all connected.
Oh my god, her name's completely left my head. Just give me 1 second. I like the main character of Humanist Vampire Seeking Consenting Suicidal Person, obviously. Oh. I just, her name is just really...
It's escaping me right now.
Sasha. I like Sasha.
Okay.
A lot. She's a lot of fun. This is the problem, is that you can only think of male protagonists.
Exactly, because female protagonists often lack a lot of depth.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Jennifer Check and also Lady from Jennifer's Body. Mm-hmm. Just great, awesome,
complex,
nuanced relationship that they have that really is what drives the central plot of the film. I'm also gonna have to say Nina from Black Swan.
Yeah.
Nina, mm-hmm. I think is her
yeah,
name.
Yeah, that is her
yep,
name.
Yep, Nina from Black Swan.
Like the meme video. Nina.
Nina, just vote. Just vote.
Just vote.
Just vote. Nina. I know I'm out. Nina. Stop. Nina. I'm also gonna go with my top choice probably would be Cleo from
good choice.
True, that one's good.
Yeah, that's like one of my favorite.
Oh, I really like Katniss Everdeen, but more in the books.
Yeah,
she's a fuller character in the books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but still love her.
I'd have to agree.
I love her as well.
Yeah.
Oh, Daenerys.
Oh,
Daenerys Stormborn.
Yeah, she's Daenerys Targaryen's good. Actually the goat. Genuinely, get her on the Iron Throne, guys.
I'm also gonna say Betty from Mulholland Drive.
Yes. I thought you were about to say Riverdale.
Betty specifically from the Netflix Riverdale TV show that has a Maid Konomic in it from Twin Peaks.
Shelly.
I mean, also Laura Herring's character, but I'll also go for Eyes Without a Face.
Oh, Louise,
I think is her name. Pretty freaking fire. But honestly, I am more of a TV show person. I really love, definitely not like a main female protagonist lead, but just one of my favorite female characters of all time is Dee Reynolds from It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Because she is funny, and just because she's a girl doesn't mean she's not as awful of a person as the rest of the gang, which I love. Because originally, she wasn't written that way, and then Caitlin Olson was like, no, I'm actually only gonna do this if my character is as much of like a idiot and like is like involved in all these things as your characters. I think that's way funnier. And they're like, actually, you're completely right. She was originally supposed to be like the voice of reason. She's like, that makes no sense. And they're like, actually, wait, you're right.
Yeah.
So just even just for that factor, definitely gonna say Dee Reynolds. Also the protagonist of Vagabond by Agnes Barda.
Yeah. That's a cool character.
Yeah, because she's kind of like, she's just doing her own thing, you know?
I'm going to do my own thing.
I'm going to do my own thing. So I respect that.
Yeah. Freaking epic.
But I think the reason why this is something that we'd like to talk about is that there hasn't always been the best representation in terms of female characters.
No.
Manic Pixie Dream Girl is a trope for a reason.
Yeah. Yep.
Because men don't know how to write women.
Yeah. We all clearly agree.
Yeah, I've been called Ramona Flowers like a couple times too many. And in the comics, she's actually nuanced and much deeper than in the films.
So you're like, thank you.
I'm like, when a man says it, I'm like, ew. When a woman says it, I'm like, have you read the comics? Still ew, because she's like a serial cheater. But like, I'm like, at least she's complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's also been like other bad kind of stereotypes perpetuated by female characters. I mean, usually it's just very flat characters. Like there's nothing to them.
Big problem. You know, there's like no flat characters in Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
We just watched this.
This was part of the reason why I was like, yo, this is what we should do for this week, because I was really impressed by Clarice in Silence of the Lambs. I really liked how like fully formed she was, and how like she had this like drive to like advance within the FBI, but at the same time, like, she also had like her own like, she's so invested in the Buffalo Bill case, mm-hmm. and like, she's, I don't know, she's just really cool. Like, she gets shit done, and you know, she has flaws, and I loved her backstory.
Yeah.
And I love finally knowing why it's called The Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I didn't have that spoiled for me going in.
Awesome.
So that was really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. I haven't seen Silence of the Lambs, but I know about it just because it's popular.
Yeah.
But I was going to say that her character like reminds me of and reminded me of another great female character, which is Dana Scully.
Yeah.
True.
X-Files.
True.
Love you, Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, Gillian Anderson, I love you. Please come here.
Real. I was going to say, I just found out today because I was talking to my coworker about Silence of the Lambs, and he was like, did you know that it's one of three movies to win Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Picture, and Best Director at the Oscars?
Yeah.
The others are leaving my head at the moment. Just give me one second.
I was like, leaving my head? I've never heard of that movie.
No.
Yeah. When you first started saying it too, I was like, what?
Are you looking it up?
But also, something I want to say about the Silence of the Lambs that I didn't say in my little tangent there is another thing I really liked about it was that kind of she's brought in with Hannibal Lecter because she's like, and people are like, oh, it's because like you're young, it's because you're pretty, it's because you're a woman, like you're, you know, they're sweetening them up with a woman, so like everybody underestimates her, but like she doesn't get along with Hannibal because she's, you know, a young, attractive woman. Like, she gets along with him because she plays the game with him.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
like, she plays by his rules as much as she needs to.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes back. And that impresses him, clearly, yeah, because all these men are handling him with, like, kiddie gloves.
It's
and that's
true.
That's got to be frustrating for,
yeah,
because
he's, like, so smart, too.
Yeah.
He's understimulated.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
It's like when you go on a date with someone and
they're just a dunce.
Yeah, and they're just a dunce. Yeah.
And they ask you, like, a really dumb question.
Or they just, or you will try to bring up a conversation and it's just so dry and it goes nowhere and they're like, hi, yeah, yeah. And it's like, bro. It's like,
is there nothing more to you?
Yeah, literally. Like,
literally.
Like, what do you talk about with your friends?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This surely isn't all you have to offer.
Yeah. The other two movies are One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And It Happened One Night.
Yeah.
Yo.
Only three in history.
To win this is the top, yeah, the big five. Picture, director, actor, actress, and adapted or screenplay.
Oh, it also
screenplay
won screenplay?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's five. Because
wow,
there's been...
even more than I thought.
There's been four that have won four.
Did they miss out on one of the actors?
For three of them, yes.
I've actually seen like a...
Which are they?
So Gone with the Wind got everything but Best Actor. Clark Gable didn't get that. Mrs.
Which is real.
Miniver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't know if I'm familiar with this movie. Walter Pidgeon didn't get Best Actor. And then Annie Hall, Woody Allen didn't get Best Actor.
I fucking hate Good. Annie Hall. I fucking hate that
I've
movie.
I've never seen it.
Don't watch
but
it.
But then with American Beauty, Kevin Spacey managed to get the Oscar for Best Actor, but Annette Bening did not for Actress.
Mm.
And then everything else has only gotten three of the big five.
Mm.
Wow, nothing recently.
No.
No. The most recent notable thing here, 2016, was Best Director and Best Actress.
Well,
those are two big ones for La La Land.
Well, this past Oscars, one battle, one director and picture. And supporting actor.
Mm. Yeah.
And screenplay.
So that would be three of the big.
Well, there's no supporting actor category.
Yeah. I was just naming things.
Yeah. No, but picture director and screenplay. Are you sure it won best screenplay?
No, I'm not sure.
Because thought it.
Not sure.
I think I won a lot because like I just think it probably would have been
added.
I mean,
now.
This is like Wikipedia, but like it's been a while since the Oscars.
I'm not sure.
At this
I could be wrong. Mm. Sinners won one at the screenplays. No, it didn't. Wait.
I have no
I'm
idea.
I'm actually
I didn't
blanking.
Watch the...
Wait.
You're the only... I think you're... Did you watch the Oscars at all?
The one film with the Skarsgård, that one for the screenplay.
Oh.
Sentimental Value.
That one,
I
want
to see that.
That one screenplay.
And it...
Did Sinners just win in my heart? Did I just
for
want
what?
It?
For what?
Screenplay?
I don't think Sinners won
Wait.
For screenplay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Sinners awards...
You know,
it won cinematography and like a whole bunch of other things.
A recent movie with a female protagonist I really like is... Anatomy of a Fall.
Ooh, Anatomy of a Fall is so good. I watched it with my mom.
Oh, it did get screenplay.
And guess who's the genius? Me.
It got because I was thinking of cinematography. Maybe you're thinking
so
of.
Actually,
it also got that.
Did you know that those are different things?
No. I know.
No, I'm just
screenplay,
kidding. Sorry.
Cinematography. Come on.
Yeah, it won a lot.
Best actor.
Should have won best picture.
I think it should have got best supporting actress.
What won best picture?
One battle
after another. Yeah, and
it
and,
was a. I think it was given to him because
it's a legacy award
legacy,
or whatever. And it's like, I don't care. You already got best director and he cleared a homeless encampment to film.
Yeah. Best director to me should be when they've also won, like the actors for the film won best actor and best actress because if they're doing their best acting,
yeah,
then that means that you were the best director, in my opinion.
Probably.
Yeah, that's actually
in
a
my
great
personal
point.
Opinion. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, anyways. Anyway,
I saw a really good post about Sinners being like, oh my gosh, Michael B. Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He deserved that Oscar because like some people are only attracted to smoke and some
I
people
saw the
are
same post
attracted to stag.
Yeah.
And I agree because.
Yeah. And also he has like when the twins are with their partners, there's tons of chemistry.
Yeah.
But when they're with the opposite partner, there's like
there's
zero
nothing.
Chemistry. And one of the brothers has dimples and the other doesn't.
Yeah, because
so it's
just
like what the hell?
He's just like, giving himself dimples.
True.
That's crazy.
Unrelated, but a film that I haven't seen that I wanted to bring up for feminism is Woman Talking.
Oh, I really want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom saw it and she was like, this is like actually a fantastic film.
That's, what's her name? Sarah?
Yes, Polly.
Yeah, Sarah Polly.
Yeah, who my mom babysat when she was younger.
There we go.
Yeah, guys, it's whatever. Yeah, it's my Sarah claim to Polly. Fame.
Wow.
Yeah. Which, I feel like I brought this up.
Yes, you have, because it was when we watched another one of Sarah Polly's...
Her documentary.
Movies. Yes, her documentary about her...
Her mom.
Her mom.
And finding out about her birthday.
Stories We Tell.
Yeah, Stories We Tell.
Was this in the class where I wasn't going to the screenings with you guys in first year?
Maybe.
That could have been either of the film classes that we had. It was for film and genre. I think this was what we had for documentary, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Really? We Gates talked about this? That wasn't spring?
It was spring.
It was so actually, yeah, because I just remember it was late.
Narrative.
Late
film and narrative.
In the term.
This was really interesting, though. Yeah, because I didn't watch this in a screening.
So.
I watched this by myself. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't heard that at all before.
The, like, Super 8 footage.
You just, like, really see my cool. mom in it? You don't. Sorry, that was just a joke. Yeah.
But, yeah, Women Talking. I also want to see that.
Yeah. And just, I just want to bring up The Handmaid's Tale just as a show.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're doing a spinoff of The Daughters in it. I forget what it's called, but I saw this new thing. But the little girls in purple, because everything's color-coded in this world. Anyways, The Handmaid's Tale just is fascinating in general. And just, I think, a really good watch because...
The Testaments.
Yeah, The Testaments. So it's, like, new, I think, this year. Anyways, it sounds really cool. But I'm a big fan of The Handmaid's Tale. And also, well, I haven't read the book, so I'm just talking about the show. And I'm ignoring the fact that the main actress is a Scientologist. But
that's crazy. Yes, Elizabeth irony.
Something. Is her name? Anyways. Yeah. Anyways, so The Handmaid's Tale, Margaret Atwood was pulling on only real life events that have happened to an actual woman. And it's just kind of like... Like, people watch and they're like, this is fiction. This will never happen. We're not close to this happening ever. This has already happened.
Bro, look at the surrogacy industry.
Literally. So
I just did a freaking project about that.
Really?
Like, it's crazy because it's, like, reducing, like... I literally did a presentation about this morning. It's, like, reducing, like, women to, like, their biological function. Like, because it there... And then there's... It was specifically looking at, like, the medical tourism thing for surrogacy in India, which was, banned. Commercial surrogacy was banned in India in 2015. It's only altruistic surgery, so without compensation, basically. But you have to be, it's only for a couple that is a heterosexual couple that is Indian, that is married and already has one kid.
What about a homosexual couple?
No, it's illegal in India. But yeah, it's crazy because they're telling women to be, like, nurturing, but also they're like, but, like, as soon as you give birth to this baby, like, you have to give it away.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Why only one kid? Like, what if, like...
No, it's at least have one kid. So just that
you've already had one.
No. Oh, if you're a surrogate. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant a family.
I thought you meant for a family.
Yeah. It has to be a heterosexual couple still can only get the baby.
Oh, but they can have any number of kids?
Yeah, if they can... Oh, okay.
No, I was just clearing it up.
Sorry, the way you phrased it, I was like, why would they need another kid?
I was like, that's so specific. I was like, the mother doesn't want to go through childbirth again? Is that what this is?
But basically, again, this doesn't happen anymore, but there would be couples from the USA that would outsource and do surrogacy in India because it's cheaper, basically because they can get away with paying the surrogates for less amount of money.
Ridiculous. I hate it when people do
there's
that.
A documentary about it called Made in India. It has a longer title.
I wish I could finish watching that with you and Ben were watching it.
Yeah, for our project.
You could finish watching it.
Well, I could independently, but I couldn't because I had a class.
Oh,
so I had to leave.
True. Oh, you mean like in the past? You wish in the you past. Could have finished.
Yes,
it.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I thought you meant like, I wish I could finish that.
It's no,
like,
I wish I could have finished
I was like,
that.
Wait, why? You guys. I was like, why can't you finish
Made
it?
Made in India, a film about surrogacy from 2010.
Interesting.
Yeah, but so Handmaid's Tale, not so dystopian.
Well, it's actually not dystopian.
Yeah, there you go.
It's just ugly.
Yep.
It's just ugly, and people don't want to look at ugly things.
Literally. Especially when it comes to women.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to do a shameless plug that it's filmed a lot in Hamilton.
Okay. Well, that's valid.
So you could, like, I've been on tours where me and my mom drive around in our car, and we go and look at the houses that it was filmed at.
That's so fun.
Anyways, what were you going
to
say?
I was going to pose a question to you guys. I was going to ask, we're three women. We're three people who identify as women.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what do you guys think, what steps do you guys think need to be taken to have, more compelling and more inclusive, female protagonists within film?
More female writers.
Yeah, get women to write them.
Yeah. Literally. Because, okay, actually, I have a good example for this.
Yes.
So, When Harry Met Sally was written by Nora Ephron, which is a woman, just to clear that up, and directed by Rob Reiner. And so, basically, this film is, a collaboration of, the two of them. They say that Harry is Rob Reiner and Sally is Nora Ephron, characteristically, who they are. And just kind of, the conversations that the characters will have, they just in real life have had with each other. And so that's why they made it into the script and stuff like that. And Nora took, some time away, a week or two from the script or something. She had something to do. And in that time, it was, 12 new scenes were added with just Harry. It's this is ridiculous. What's going on? And so she had to, even it out again. But basically, all of the characteristics of Harry and the writing from Harry and everything from that was brought from Rob Reiner, a man, and all of the stuff from Sally was brought from Nora Ephron, a woman. And that's why it's such a balanced film. And that's why it's so well written. And you're these guys feel real characters and they feel real people. And even the side characters feel real and you could actually know them in real life. And that's just, I think, because of the collaborative nature of it and the fact that it was written by a woman.
There you go.
So that's my example.
That's a great example.
Because a lot of the time rom-coms, you're I love rom-coms. I genuinely I love rom-coms.
Rom-com and
romance movies in general. I just love the genre. Big fan. So I've seen a lot of them, and I've seen a lot of really shitty ones. And I just every time I'm watching them, a lot of the time I'm just kind of wishing that they were written as well as When Harry Met Sally is written. Or I'm just kind of I'm wishing that the characters are not as flat or not as one-dimensional and they're just fuller and more rounded out. So then that's why when those rom-coms that have more well-rounded characters are made, they'd stand out more and they uphold the test of time more than the other ones that aren't that aren't just quote-unquote chick flicks that people just brush under the door and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you weren't super impressed with Falling in Love?
That we were... That was a tough watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually tying it back to the Oscars talk we were just having, because It Happened One Night is a film that I've seen that is the first rom-com, pretty much. It's considered the first rom-com. And I wrote a whole paper on how I actually did not like how the female character was represented within that.
There you go.
Because she is from this very wealthy, spoiled, privileged background, and she's she needs to be taught by the male character, played by Clark Gable in a lot of ways, on how normal people live. That's part of it.
Right.
And I wrote a whole paper about how she's very much put in this infantile box.
Mm.
I don't think that she's horrifically badly written. She does have depth and depth and complexity to a degree, but for that one being the first one out of the gate for rom-coms and
it to win all those awards and everything.
Yeah. I don't
Clark
think
Gable didn't win
because was Gone with the Wind.
Dang it.
No, it did. It won the 5.
That was Gone with the Wind, where actually the only saving grace of that movie is how strong the female character is. Everything else about it actually sucks balls. But the female protagonist in Gone with the Wind is, she's very, very compelling in her own way.
This reminded me of a movie where female leads, Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
That movie's a lot of fun.
I haven't seen it. I want to see it.
It's a lot of fun. I recommend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that guys, controversial taking coming. Movies with female protagonists, well-written ones, can be enjoyed by not just women.
Yeah.
Do you know why? Because women enjoy movies that don't have female protagonists and have male protagonists all the time.
Yeah.
True.
I think a big step that needs to be taken, and like within my own like writing that I've done, the limited amount of it, and it's not even published. But I think what's important for like stronger female characters is to show more of a depth and scope of emotion for both genders. Like if you have like a script with like a male and a female lead, like something I hate about rom-coms is like they break up or it's like the all is lost and like the girl goes back and she cries in her room and she's like throwing off her heels and her hair is all messy and it's the first time that she doesn't look perfect in the movie and whatever. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes and he broods in the rain, maybe cries a single tear, or like goes out and drinks with his buddies. Like, why can't he be crying too?
Yeah.
Like, why can't she go out and drink with her friends? And why can't, like,
because of societal standards,
literally, like because like an example I can think of is like in my own writing, like there's like a major in one thing I wrote, there's like a major, you know, all is lost moment. And like the woman goes and she doubles down and she works twice as hard in the face of, you know, adversity because she's trying to get ahead in a career path that is male dominated. And she knows that's what she has to do. And the man goes and cries and sulks. Because realistically, that's what happens a lot of the time. Because as women, we know we have to work twice as hard to just get to where a normal man needs to go. I don't think it's realistic for women to run off and cry, ever. Because you're not allowed to, as someone who always ran off and cried as a kid. Like, you get labeled, you know, a crybaby. You get labeled too feminine.
Oh, here come the waterworks.
Exactly. You get called a princess, whatever. Like, so you just learn to repress that. But men... you know, they're not taught that. I've seen men freak out and cry on so many occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even know to run away.
True.
Because they're not taught to do that. So they just cry in front of everyone and it's embarrassing. But it's not embarrassing. It's good that they're showing their emotions. But you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's not viewed as embarrassing. But it is. I don't know. I think that less rigid structures need to be maintained for both sides. I think that everyone should be allowed to cry. And
and everyone should be allowed to go out and drink with their friends.
Literally. Yeah. Exactly.
Or guys, hear me out. Cry while you drink with your friends.
Yeah, that's always good. I love those. It's
always good.
Scenes.
You get so drunk that you get really emotional and you start crying.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to call them. And your friends are like, no.
Yeah. And then someone accidentally finds out that I was drinking water the whole time. And they're like, why are you acting like that? I'm like, don't worry about it.
And the whole time you're like comically like Jim Carrey doing it where you're like, blah, blah, and then you throw the water behind your head. And it's like, what do you mean you weren't drinking? It looked like you were drinking all. Old eye.
Yeah. That would be such a cool experience to have. And I'm glad I imagined it. I hope something as fun as that happens to me in the future.
Yeah. And then I tear open a can of spinach and I down it in one go and I get really pissed. Popeye!
Oh, I actually got too excited. The audio peaked so badly when I said Popeye. Freaking peak eye. More like, sorry about that, guys. Sorry about that, listeners.
But yeah. Yeah. And I also think, to your Mulholland Drive point, I think more women should go crazy in movies. Like, Betty, she's Naomi Watts,
right? I feel
like
a lot of women go crazy in
movies. No, but, like, in the man way. Not in the woman way, in the man way, where they fuck shit up.
I feel like recently I've been watching a lot of movies where women do that.
There's been a resurgence, or I don't know if it could be a resurgence. I think after Pearl... and X, everyone started was like, we need
but
more
I feel
this.
Like that's like a socially acceptable, not socially acceptable, but like a classic way women go crazy where they like kill people and everything. Like,
true.
I mean, like socially manipulating things and like thinking ahead.
This kind of makes me think of Peacemaker.
Oh,
Hard Check. Well, wait, what's her name? I haven't watched Peacemaker so well.
I want to say Harwin, but that's not it.
Harwin? No, it's definitely... oh my God, I'm not a robot. Mountain or hills? I've never gotten a CAPTCHA test that's asked me to identify mountains or hills. Hardcore. What did it say? Hardwell?
I don't know.
Hardcore. Amelia Hardcore. Where she literally... I mean, it's played as a joke, but in season two, she gets... diagnosed with toxic masculinity or something like that.
Yeah, she does.
And she like crashes out and just like is just like punching her car radio until her knuckles are bloody.
Yeah, I haven't seen that much of Peacemaker, but I really liked her character because she just behaves like a man, you know?
Yeah.
But in that she is just being herself and not being held to a idea of gender standards.
Exactly.
It's true. Or
social conventions.
What I will say is about you commenting on how you want more women to be manipulating things socially and all mm-hmm. that fun jazz, is that that's happened to me in real life, IRL.
Yeah.
Like where a woman has been doing that.
Yeah.
Where a woman has been doing that, like to our friend group and a friend group. And it like sucks. Because women are so genius with it.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, it's like, oh, so you intended to fuck all this shit up like on purpose and ruin all of our friendships with each other, wanting us all to hate each other and like insularly?
Yeah. Is that insularly? Yeah.
Anyway, so like watching it is great, but experiencing that actually is the worst.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. I don't know.
Mean people are mean people, you know, through and through. But listen, we like fun stories in a fictionalized world.
Yeah. In Lisa Frankenstein, I really like it because, okay, this is spoilers for Lisa Frankenstein, guys. Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers for all you listeners who have really just really been wanting to see it. So she does a lot of stuff like killing a lot of people, like several, mm-hmm. like she kills a lot of people in this movie. Not like, sorry, I'm blowing it up proportion. She kills many.
Yeah.
And she faces zero consequences at the end of it, like absolutely zero consequences for all of the crazy shit that her and Frankenstein do throughout the film. And I love that.
Yeah.
Hashtag love that, because I love it when
Morgan, no consequences.
No,
Maiden.
Specifically actually. When I just think it works when you want, like, you want your main character to be likable, and like that's the type of like campy film you want to do, and like there's no consequences for all this fucked up shit, but it's not like too fucked up. It's not like morally well, killing is morally fucked up.
Yeah.
But she was killing sexual assaulters, guys. So to be honest, that's kind of
fine.
And
for love.
Yeah.
And for love. He was also killing the sexual assaulters.
Perfect.
So dream team?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we found the new Brangelina, guys.
Ironic, because Brad Pitt is like a horrible husband.
Yeah, he's like
and
yeah,
a father.
Exactly.
He's like a beater, wife
he's
beater,
he's
and
a wife
child
beater,
beater
and
a child beater,
yeah.
And a screamer and a drinker.
Yeah,
he was a joker. What's this?
I'm a joker. I'm a smoker.
I'm a joker. I'm a midnight
smoker. Yeah,
the Joker. That's what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know why, like, you see the way you're like, he was a beater and a cheater and a freaking alcohol abuser and an eater.
And an eater. Yo, we don't know that.
Whoa.
Probably not.
Probably.
Yo, he's probably
probably not
eating the freaking goo that's keeping him young.
Like in Curious Case of Benjamin Button,
or like in Death Becomes Her, which
true.
I like the female characters in that a lot.
Yes,
there we go.
Yes, I love Meryl Streep.
Just Meryl Streep
in general
is really good.
Actually, in anything.
I also want to bring up Aubrey Plaza's character April from Parks and Recreation.
Yes,
because I actually love her so much.
I love her.
She like especially with what was Tiffany with a Y?
Yes,
and she's like we should. Wait, Renata rocks my world.
She also is a character that kind of does whatever she wants and does like a lot of negative things and faces zero consequences for it, which I love.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because then, like, if they're a bad person and they face consequences for it, then the show acknowledges that they're a bad person.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't, then the show is just acknowledging that they're like quirky. You know? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I'm thinking of you mentioning that like friendship was not really your vibe, and I can 100% see why.
The more we talk about like consequences versus no consequences in movies, I actually realized that low-key, I think I might be the opposite of you, and I love it when people face consequences.
Well, okay, like
I love it when they face consequences, but then it's okay.
But
anyways.
Then it's okay.
No, well, like I like it when people face consequences. Yes, sorry,
yes,
guys.
But like
I just in things aimed for comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
When,
no, I understand.
Like April's comedy, Lisa Frankenstein's a comedic movie. I Think You Should Leave is comedic.
Yeah.
So like all these things are aimed for comedy, and I won't find it funny if they get consequences for their actions.
Because
it'll be real.
Okay.
You know.
I get that.
Sorry,
I get that.
I'm not saying that no one should face consequences.
No, I know
anything.
You're not. But I love it when they face consequences in comedy if it becomes absurd. Like if the consequence is absurd.
Yeah. That is also that's funny. But that's funny in a different way.
I guess so.
Humor is subversive, humor is subjective, humor is multifaceted. You guys you learn a lot on this podcast with us here, Three Maidens.
Yeah, that's
a lot
true.
To learn
but
from us.
I just think there needs to be more complex characters in general that are women. And I think, you know what, actually, I think is a great example, Sansa Stark and how everyone hates her.
Everyone hates her. It's because, I'll tell you why. It's because, so at the beginning of this, at the show, she's 13. At the beginning of the books, I believe she's 11.
Yeah.
And she's very meant young. To be annoying because of her age. And you know how kids are annoying? You know that? Mm-hmm. Like how they are because they're kids. So she's a kid. And so she's a little bit annoying. And so people literally hate her so much because she's just a little bit annoying. And she, like, in season one of Game of Thrones, she just was kind of like, no, but I want to, like, get married to and Joffrey have and have babies with Joffrey, be the queen. Which, to be honest, at 13 is a normal dream to have.
And that's what she's also been raised and groomed for her entire life.
Low-key, that was a realistic thing literally to happen to her. So if you are living in that world in which, like, people are, like, dying and this and that, and, like, you low-key have a shot at being queen, you'd also be like, yo, low-key, I'm gonna be queen.
Yeah, literally. And Joffrey in the books is, like, literally described as, like, beautiful. Like, he looks like Cersei and Jaime, like, more so in the books. Like, mm-hmm. in the books, guys, he has, like long, like, curly, like, blonde hair that's, like, always, like, perfectly styled, and he's, like, perfectly toned. Like, he's, like, described as, like, very, perfect, very beautiful.
Incest hair.
Yeah. He has, like, perfect incest hair, apparently, according to the books.
Wow.
And I think, adding on to you saying she's annoying, in the books, too, like, I just read, I'm not finished the first book, but I just read the first Arya POV, and it's literally, like, her and Sansa working on sewing. And, like, Arya has never been good at it. She's never been good at needlework. And Sansa is perfect at it. And she has her friends surrounding her. And Arya doesn't really have any friends within the court. And they all kind of, like, toe to, like, what Sansa says. But she's the older sister. And, you know, like, that's her annoying younger sister. So she's kind of, she doesn't really stick up for Arya all the time. But they're sisters. That's normal, I fear.
And also they're children.
Yeah.
And also they are little girls that have done, at the point that you're describing at the very least, nothing morally objectionable, especially in contrast to people that are like, hello, I am King Evil of the Evilton and I kill people.
And
for
I like
evil
to
reasons.
Have sex with my twin.
Yes, literally. and I am the king beyond the freaking wall, and I keep
Mance Rayder's chill.
No, it's what that was other guy? What's the guy? Other guy in the north? The guy in the north?
Bruce Bolton?
No, the one that just married his
daughters.
His daughters, and then
Walder Frey.
Walder
Frey. Yeah. And there's Walder Frey.
Oh, but, no, that's Craster.
Yeah,
Craster.
Sorry. Walder Frey is a different evil guy.
Yeah.
But anyways, on the point of Sansa, so really she, like, improves over the course of the show as characters do, you know.
Mm-hmm. As they do.
But I think, like, everybody, she digresses in the last two or three seasons.
Okay, well, disregarding
the last
that.
Two seasons.
However, people can't, like, get over the fact that she was annoying, like, a little bit when she was younger, so they hold that against her the whole time. and so then in season, a later season, when she does one more thing that's a little bit annoying, just one more, everyone's like, see, I was right the whole time. See, she's actually the worst, and she literally, like, sucks and should die. It's like, what are you talking about?
And then they'll
about?
Be like, Jamie is goated. And they'll be like, Jamie mogs everyone.
Yeah.
Jamie is the best.
I mean, that
guy.
Is true. He does mog everyone. Mm-hmm. You got to give it to them for that.
Clearly, you haven't heard of Mogdrick. Freaking Podrick Payne.
Stop. Podrick Payne, who's like a child in the books.
Yo, and not in the show?
True.
And I haven't read a single page of the books.
True. Neither.
I haven't even watched the whole show.
I can't even say neither. Neither have I. I have. I've read one page. Old.
Yeah, you're something of a Game of Thrones book.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're talking about Game of Thrones, genius. The way that women
you're something of a Game of Thrones book.
True.
sorry. Go ahead.
The way that women are, the experiences that women go through in Game of Thrones is actually, like, horrific to no end. Like, George R. R. Martin was really like, wait, what if all of the pain and suffering ever in the world went to the women?
Yeah.
Okay, more suffering for
women. I do love the one video clip of him that I did see, though, where he was like, hey, like, guys, I know it's crazy to say this, but when I'm writing women, I'm just like, women are people. Like, you know, like, women can go through complex things. I arguably, like, I think what Game of Thrones highlights is that, like, women, because we have the ability to, you know, like, grow children within us, well, biological women, not all women. Some women can't do that. That's completely fine.
And some, you know,
some biological women can't.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
And but I think a lot of women who, you know, can do that, like, their suffering is amplified because of that. Because you
literally
can be fucking raped.
Actually, literally.
Yeah.
Like all the time. So much rape. Yeah.
Literally.
And actually in House of the Dragon, and this isn't a spoiler because it happens like episode one.
Yeah.
Viserys, King Viserys, that's the dad. That's the king.
That's the king.
He, like, his wife is pregnant and it's a complicated birth that in modern day technology, you would just have a C-section and be okay and everyone would be okay.
Yeah.
However, they're like, okay, so do you want to save your wife or do you want to save the baby? And then he's like, the baby, and then both die.
Bruh.
And it's like, bruh.
Yeah, the baby's born, but it dies like 2 days later.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably because it doesn't have a mother.
I think it was a stillbirth. I think it was alive for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, he was like, it's a boy, and he was all happy.
Well, you can see it's a boy without it.
No, but it was like moving. Being alive.
True.
I think it was moving.
I forget. So
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But yeah, and House of the Dragon is also really good at exploring how complicated it is to
because,
be a woman.
Because she's anointed the first female heir
ever.
And everyone's like, yo, this sucks. Get the men back on the throne.
Yeah. like, it's really interesting because the people in court are like some people are like, yo, maybe she could be queen. But everybody else is like, the common people will not accept her because it's such like the society is so early that genuinely it is just like you can be raped. You know, like all you are is, you know,
your reproductive organs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think I think Game of Thrones tackles this stuff pretty well, guys. Genuinely. I think that other stuff is not tackled so well in Game of Thrones, but that's a thing for another day.
True.
Yeah.
I was just talking about the pain and suffering.
Yeah. But yeah.
But it's done to show how evil men are.
Mm-hmm. Also, guys, again, if you want to watch, this is completely off topic, I don't know why I said again. If you want to watch a movie that's just women and it's just complex female relationships, watch The Women. It's only women, no men on screen, ever.
Awesome. Wow. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Sounds like my dream.
Some of the arguments are centered around men, but you never see them, you never hear from them. And it's all about like how women have to like socially like fight with each other. Oh, another one of my favorite female protagonists are both of them in All About Eve.
True. Yeah. Right. I've seen clips of that.
Yeah.
We did a presentation on that.
We did.
Film last year. Mm-hmm. Margot and I and some other friends. Mm-hmm. Actually, Parker and Rowan, who are both on this podcast.
True.
Yeah.
So listeners, you're familiar with them.
I when I was younger, I really liked Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I was so mad that I didn't grow one more inch, so I couldn't be considered an Amazon.
That's actually completely valid.
Yeah, I was actually like really upset about that.
I never had a chance.
Several years.
I'm actually reading this book right now called Legendborn, and so it is a YA. It is a YA novel.
Mm-hmm.
She is 16. Keep this in mind. This is for class. Mm-hmm. So, in it, she's like, I'm 5'8". I'm so tall. She's basically talking about how freaking tall she is, and I'm like, which she's like, her like. It's a point that people are really racist to her because she's black and it's in like Southern America and like Southern America as in the south of the US. And she's like, if I have like a bun on top of my head, that makes me a lot taller because people can't see through my hair. It's like a whole
face hit a butt.
Bun, B-U-N. It's like a whole like race thing. But which is very valid. However, her being like, I'm so big and giant because I'm 5'8", and then she was like, this other character, he's 4 inches taller than me, and that's saying something. I was like, girl, shut up. I was like, girl, actually shut the fuck up. If you're saying he's 4 inches tall, that's 6 foot.
Yeah,
that's 6 foot. Like, he's 4 inches taller than me, actually get out of my face. 5'8" is like not tall.
That's Sorry, exactly.
I just know a lot of people that are 5'8".
That's exactly how I felt when I was like 16, though, about my height, to be honest. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm such a freak. I'm so much taller than everyone else. Because men don't hit their growth spurt until they're like 18 or 19.
So, yeah, I was always around tall men my whole life.
There you go.
Just always. Like, my whole family's like really like 6'4". Mm-hmm. Everyone in my family is like really tall. So I guess never felt that. So in my own lived experience, I was like, this is ridiculous for you to be like, he's so tall.
Yeah.
It's like 6 foot. It's like, girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This reminds me of the movie Tall Girl.
Sorry.
Because she's literally supposed to be.
She like 6 foot?
She's supposed to be 6 feet tall.
That
but
is
like,
tall for a woman.
It is tall, but I think they made like tables smaller than they should be because let me like look at this. Like the tables are like at like her knees. Like I don't think if someone that's like 6 feet tall that the table would. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like too.
I don't
like
know.
Some of the stuff I've seen from the film like makes it like.
I think it's just shot very low, so yeah. It looks much smaller. I know,
because Griffin Gluck's like 5'9", maybe.
Yeah,
5'10" max 5'10". No, he would be shorter than that if they casted him.
I usually my like hips are like at a table.
Yeah,
and his hips are like at that table.
I don't know.
Almost right. It's like a little more. Sorry, I'm like, it's like those, have you seen those videos where the people like break down how tall someone is by like taking a phone in their hand and measuring? That's what I'm trying to do right now. Which Steve Zahn is in this movie?
Yeah, I guess.
I've only seen movie commentaries on it. I haven't actually watched All Girl.
I haven't either.
I didn't want to put myself through that.
I think I've maybe seen the first 5 minutes.
I'm going to guess that's
not great. And you were like, that's not my lived experience.
Yeah.
Small girl.
Like, what am I doing watching? This is not for me.
It shows a POV shot. You're like, this is so scary.
Imagine living like this. But yeah, I always appreciate female characters that are kind of a bit of a loser because I'm like, wait, no, thanks. I relate.
I literally keep saying that like we all need to do like a loser like girl comedy. Like stoner girl loser.
Like we need
comedy.
To make one or we need
to make one.
I agree. There's speaking of weird girl movies, there's this movie called Ghost World.
Yes, I want to watch it.
So I did watch it and I was expecting to absolutely love it. I was like, I went into this movie with like, I was like, I'm going to love this movie because the internet is telling me I'm going to love it because of all of these characters about two quirky women. I really didn't like this movie. It's all about her. Well, it's about other stuff, but it's about her wanting to date this really older guy.
Yeah.
Which is something I don't relate to at all. 0% of my body and mind relates to wanting to date a significantly older man. Like, actually, no part of me. I know some people do. Some people are really into that.
Wait, you don't watch that new reality
Age of Attraction?
Show, Age of Attraction?
Where, like, a 22-year-old gets with, like, a 38-year-old?
It was the 54-year-old and the 27-year-old, because she had a kid that was
29,
yeah.
I know. There's also a 22-year-old and a 38-year-old and a... Sorry, I just watched a video on this. And a 6-year-old and a 27-year-old.
A 6-year-old?
And she's like, oh, he's my parents' age. And then he's literally like, I don't know why she's like... Because she's like, I took a vow of celibacy. And he's literally
for
like,
years,
but
yeah.
Like, why doesn't she want to fuck?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no, he's like, oh, so you want to cuddle, but I try to have sex with you and you're still celibate, even though that's one of the first things you told me. And I said
Jorge?
That I was okay with it. Jorge, yeah.
Wow, yeah. we all know about this.
Wow, we were together when we watched the video about it, but I haven't talked to you about this yet, Morgan.
I assumed you were tapped in.
I am tapped in. That one guy on YouTube was talking about it.
Yeah.
Jarvis?
Yes.
Yeah, we watched the same video.
So Jarvis reminds me so much our manager at Veritas.
I was literally thinking that when we were watching the video. The way he speaks
is the exact same. It's the exact same. I was like, wow.
I almost said that when we were watching the video yesterday. That's crazy.
I was literally thinking that.
Wow.
That's so funny.
Double tapped in.
Literally. That's beautiful.
Wow. Yeah.
Well,
everything's connected.
Everything is connected.
Yeah. But, you know, there's obviously a lot more to talk about women. We could talk forever and not even begin
literally.
To cover
literally
the complexities
forever.
That make up. Yeah. And I'm sure that these themes, I mean, they've been pervasive, I think, throughout our discussions and critiques of film and
because
topics.
Because our lived experience is through female gaze.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's important to bring your lived experience into everything that you care about and that you're passionate about, especially in academic film studies, which tends to be very male dominated. It's important to stay strong.
Which is like the whole film bro thing. When you think of film bro movies, those are all male-centric films.
And a lot of them are like stuff that's been like, for example, like Fight Club was like... the book was written by a woman or the director. There's always female involvement. Same with like American Psycho.
Yeah, I was about to say directed by a woman.
Yeah. Written by a gay man. Yeah.
Yes.
We're tapped in.
The only way to tell the masculine experience is gay men and women
because they actually experience some semblance of like oppression. Like white male storytellers, get the hell out of here.
Literally. Yeah.
Like, just cool it.
Done with you. Yeah. It's 2026.
And always make sure to keep intersectionality in mind. You know, women have it hard, but some women have it harder than
That's
others.
True. Yeah, that's true.
Literally. Like,
it's a privilege that we live in Canada.
It is.
We have certain rights that are protected by law.
Literally, that other countries just don't have.
Yeah, exactly. And don't take them for granted. But unfortunately, we don't have time to cover all the beautiful facets of what is the female experience and women in film. Mm-hmm. But we dipped our toes in today. As always, you were joined by me, Dorsa.
Morgan.
And me, Margo.
And
it's been
real.
Women
are awesome.
Yeah, women are awesome.
True, women are awesome.
Bye.
Bye.